On this episode of Rambling About Notable Topics, we're talking about indie games, and we're also going to be giving away a free copy of Limbo for your PC or Mac via Steam. Find out how, coming up on this rant. Giving away a free copy of Limbo via Steam. I'll explain how to win it at the end of this episode, so stay tuned. Hello and welcome to this edition of Rambling About Notable Topics, or Rant. I'm your host, Kyle Cicilloni, and today I'm joined by...
Sean Gay.
Welcome back. Well, welcome to this program, I guess.
Yeah, I mean...
You haven't been here since we've done Cinema Clash, so...
That's true.
So it's welcome to this new format, this new show. Glad to have you.
Oh, I appreciate being on the program.
Okay, so... Yep. Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off. Anyway, today we're talking about indie games. It's been a subject I've been wanting to talk about, and it's a really interesting subject. It has become such a modern phenomenon, almost. It's just become huge, almost. It's actually like a new aspect of the gaming industry, almost. It's kind of a big deal, and what it's done for gaming in general, and it's a really promising part of what the future of gaming could be, in that, you know, it's not just about, you know, big AAA titles that cost millions of dollars to produce. It's these small developers, mostly by just one or two people, who, you know, produce an entire video game. I mean, you know, they'll have some help with music, stuff like that, but, you know, primarily they do it themselves, and you know, they come up with... What's arguably some of the best video games out there compared to, you know, any games that are out there. There's so many different games out nowadays, but, you know, indie games have become very, it's weird because we call them indie games, but they're now such a mainstream part of gaming. It's kind of like an oxymoron almost. But I just want to start off, Sean, with your experiences with, indie games so far, where you started, the first one you started playing, you know, and what you've played since then, some of your favorites, and just how you feel about it in general.
Yeah, I mean, first I'd like to say that in general, though, that, like, the whole concept of indie games is, like, pretty much the saving grace for, like, the gaming community, because it seems to me, especially with the way the market's moving, it's really these big game companies, I'm looking at you, EA, is pretty much focusing on, like, this whole, you know, money matters and high advertisement cost, and like you're saying, these multi-million dollar projects.
Right. And that's not to say that EA games make, it's not that EA makes bad games, you know what I mean? Like, they make some great games too, but just sometimes the way they go about them and how it is, like you said, just a more of a money-making scheme than anything.
I mean, you know, yeah, we could completely go in a whole conversation, right, of EA with the whole DRM thing. But,
yeah.
I mean, the thing about independent video games is that I love the most is that, like, these people that are making the game, they are, like, people that their entire lives have been growing up on video games.
It's their passion, you know what I mean? It's not a job for them. It's, you know, it's their life, kind of.
Exactly. And, I mean, people... Like, the original creators of video games, you know, on the Ataris and whatnot, they didn't really have much of a, you know, a history to, like, well, you could always look at Super Mario Brothers' influence. No,
right.
They didn't have that, because they're the ones making it. So, it's really interesting, but it seems to be, like, especially when you play an indie game versus a modern-day title, there's always nostalgia or
Yeah, they're almost always a... There's always some sort of aspect or style that's borrowed or influenced from or inspired from, you know, a classic game, some sort of, you know, NES or Super Nintendo or Atari or Sega, you know, these old school 8-bit games almost, if you will.
Absolutely, yeah.
And they always have that, yeah, they definitely have that feeling, which maybe is why I enjoy a lot of these so much.
Exactly. And the first one, you know, we played together. And that was when Castle Crashers came out.
Right. And you introduced me to that, so.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, when I think of when I play video games, my proudest moment is, you know, co-op of some kind. But, like, I could think of the countless amount of hours as a child, you know, sitting in my room playing with, like, you know, the kids, pretty much my little rascal kids back in the day, and we're just playing endless and endless of the same game, you know, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3 or Double Dragon,
right,
or Double Dragon 2, and it's just these, you know, it's a beat-em-up platformer game, yeah, and it's such a good time.
And it's, a lot of the time, the games are such a simple idea almost, and everything, it's all based on, you know, two or three controls, really simple kind of idea, sometimes a really simple plot, and, you know, you'll find so much, sometimes just so much more enjoyment out of these. And also, I think a lot of it has to do with the developers who make a lot of these games, and how we mentioned that, you know, that it's their passion, like, they want these games to go out, they want to make an impact on, you know, like, people, like, the mm-hmm. gaming society, and, you know, it's you know, they're trying to bring a message out, you know, they're trying to show you, like, this is my passion, this, you know, this is what I feel, or get across some sort of message. And yeah, if no. you've, I know we were discussing this earlier, that we both seen Indie Game the movie, and if any of you out there haven't seen Indie Game the movie, it's on Netflix, instant watch, and I would definitely recommend it. It's a fascinating look into the world of developing indie games, and it follows specifically Ed McMillan and Tommy something, I can't think of the guy's name, the programmer's name, from the guys who were behind Super Meat Boy. And also, Phil Fish. Thank you. Yeah. Developer of Fez, which are both really great games. And, it just shows you, you know, what goes into this and the hardships. And, it's a really great movie. And it shows you, you know,
Stressing hardship for sure.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Definitely. And, you know, I think that's also why, like, they pretty much are on key with everything, you know, what I'm about to say or what I'm going to say or what I have said about indie games. And, like, it's, you know, these people create these games, you know, like, it's their passion. They really want to get something across. And I think that's why a lot of these games are so enjoyable, because they have such a stylized, sometimes it's, like, so stylized, but sometimes it's very simple, but it's just the approach the games are, like, really fun. They don't try and be, you know, super, you know, like, over the top, or, like, you know, like, mainstream just action and all these things. Like, it's, like, Braid is such a kind of a simple game, but it's such a
well-executed game.
Yeah, like, it's such a fresh take on a video game. It's a simple platformer with one aspect of an element of, you know, rewinding, but it's just the style and, like, the way the game kind of plays itself and what it goes for is what I find the most amazing part of Braid or any of these indie games. I think my first, the first one I've played, but I don't even know if I'm trying to think if I played it before Castle Crashers or not, but Plants vs. Zombies is also a really big, what's, I don't know if it started a lot of this, but it was definitely made indie games, you know, what they've become today, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, like, a lot of those games, like, even Castle Crashers came from, like, Newgrounds. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, these are all, like, flash games.
Right.
On that, like, you know, got the views and plays on these websites and, you know, had such interest that they just made the transfer to, you know, the Xbox, the Gen consoles.
Right.
And, I mean, it's interesting you talk about Braid because, like, kind of going on a tangent, is that, like, you take such a simple concept of a game, like platforming, you know, mm-hmm. you're going across the map, you're jumping things, and, you know, you think it's these big game companies pretty much believe at this point, you know, there's not much you can do to these games. There's not much, I mean, the meta of the game has been made, and there's not much you can add to it. And then here comes along Braid and adds this whole concept of, you know, rewinding time while jumping, and it's like, wow, this is not only fun but extremely, extremely challenging too.
Yeah.
So
yeah, a lot of these games are very challenging. Like, Super Meat Boy is made to be like just a frustratingly tough platforming game, and they talk about it in the movie. and how, like, it's not just, you know, like, a lot of games, honestly, like, a lot of games nowadays are super simple. They pretty much hand you everything. But I really appreciate, as frustrating as Super Meat Boy is, or some of these games are, it's so nice to have this old school style of tough video game, tough video games. You know what I mean? Like, exactly. Tough gameplay.
No.
Such a rewarding experience when you do something that you've been trying to do over and over again for countless hours.
It's the masochistic game mode. Yeah. I agree.
And the Super Meat Boy is a prime example of that. But it's when you go through this, that when you have that moment and you get through it, it's like, it's such a rewarding experience. It's so rewarding and it's so worth it.
Yeah, no, because I mean, like, Mega Man series to this day still is like, and the beauty of those games is they don't have to teach. They teach you by experience. Like, I mean,
it's trial and error, the whole thing, pretty much.
Well, it's trial and error, but like, if you don't really notice, but the game, like, they even talk about it in the Indie Game Movie Maker for Super Meat Boy, not the spoilers, but they even talk about how, like, everything in the game in the beginning, they teach you the basics without having to, like, blatantly put it on the screen.
Right.
Like, the jump is this.
And it's all, like, the level design. He talks about that, how, like, you know, every certain, when you introduce a new aspect of the game, like a new obstacle that you need to overcome, they'll slowly implement it, and then they'll put all of those together, like, as you go, so it gets tougher and tougher, but you've learned how to, you know, jump over a saw, and you understand that, you know, if you touch the saw, you'll die, and, you know, you'll slowly learn that by jumping over one, and then, you know, later you'll do two, and then you'll implement other stuff, and by the time you know it, you're jumping over, like, 1,000. so it, like, slowly introduces it, and then, you know, and then it gets tough, but...
Yeah, so
I think I haven't played, like, a super amount, because, well, I mean, first of all, there's so many different indie games out there that, you know, it's, I don't know if it's possible to play all of them, but, you know, I did start with Plants vs. Zombies and Castle Crashers, and I loved Castle Crashers the moment we played it, and I spent lots of hours on that, and then I played Braid, and I really enjoyed Braid. Super Meat Boy, I actually just got Super Meat Boy, like, a couple months ago. Like, I have not ever owned it until, you know, a couple months ago, and I'm really enjoying that as well.
Well, also, you own Binding of Isaac, so, I mean, that's the same.
Right,
guy,
which, yeah, so. I was just going to say, Edmund McMillan also did Binding of Isaac, which is a very cool game, very old-school Zelda.
Zelda to
type,
a T.
Yeah, that definitely type of game. And then we come to Limbo, which is a very interesting game, a really awesome indie game. It was part of the summer indie game sale on Xbox Live Arcade 3 years ago now? 2010, I believe?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. And that was, like, the headliner of that summer of games, and that did really well, and that was a really cool game too. Some of the coolest art style in any video game period, I would say Limbo and Bastion as well. I just wanted to just mention that real quick. But also Limbo, you know, you're listening to this episode. We're going to be giving away a free copy of Limbo this episode. If you just listen on towards the end, I'll explain, you know, how you're going to submit a way to win a free copy of Limbo via Steam. So just keep listening. Also, like I said, Bastion, which was
totally worth it.
Yeah, I think Bastion is probably my favorite indie game, period. I loved everything about Bastion. I love the gameplay. I love the humor. I love the badassness of it. How this freaking announcer is, like, announcing your every move in, like, this old school, like, Western style of, like, music, and the music
Spaghetti
is
Western.
Fantastic by Darren Korb. He's an awesome producer, and some of the coolest music. The art style is fantastic. All of it, just the game itself, just blew my mind, and I love it.
Well, I mean, since the viewers probably don't know exactly what do you do exactly in Bastion? Like,
it's a platformer, and it also has RPG elements. Like, you find different weapons throughout the game, and you'll always have two different weapons at any time. You'll have a ranged weapon and you'll have a melee weapon, and you can you'll get different ones. You'll get, like, shotguns or dual pistols or a rifle, and then you'll get, like, a hammer or a sword, and you can choose which ones you want to use, and you can also level them up as you go. So, you know, I really enjoyed the buckshot, like the shotgun, so I leveled that up as much as I wanted.
You had me at shotgun when you're in the game, so.
Yeah, and it's just a really, it's a really fun game. It's a pretty simple story. But it's just the way it goes about, the way that the game kind of plays upon itself, like the way it, unravels, like not just the story, but physically the world, like it unravels as you walk on it. Like the platforms like come up from nowhere. Then they come underneath your feet as you're walking. It's just really cool. The art style is fantastic. Yeah. And which is also, I'm very excited for Transistor, which is their follow-up. The Supergiant Games, their follow-up to Bastion, which is, it's a very similar, play style, except it's like a sci-fi game. It's like, almost along the lines of, like, Blade Runner-type city.
Really?
Yeah, very cool. They have, like, a little trailer you can watch. They were actually presenting it at PAX, which I think is this week or last week. It's going on right now.
It was going on as we speak.
And, that looks really cool, and that's slated to come out early 2014. So that's really exciting too, because that looks really awesome. Just a really polished up version of Bastion, as far as visuals go. Not that Bastion looked bad; I think Bastion looked incredible. And then let's see what else. I bought Deadlight, which was this past summer's headliner for Summer of Live Arcade on Xbox Indie Games. And Deadlight is a... Have you seen anything on Deadlight, Sean?
No, honestly, I've seen the, like, advertisements for it. No, it didn't really, like, suit my fancy, because I just had so many games to play.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a lot of that, too, but, it's a side-scrolling zombie survival game, and it looked really cool, And the art style is really awesome. It's all, like, very shadowed. It's all based on lighting and stuff. Sort of like Limbo, but a little bit more colorful. And you're just in a post-apocalyptic world, and it's a side-scrolling shooter game. And you get, like, guns and stuff. But I really hated it. I think it's the only indie game that I've played ever that I just despised. I mean, not to say it's, like, the worst video game out there. There's definitely some fun to be had in it, but
is it the difficulty?
It's not even the difficulty. It's just the it's really clunky platforming at certain points, and it's really sometimes the mechanics of how you play the game are really frustrating. Like I'll know that I need to do like my brain and my hands know that okay, I need to do this and then this and then this, right? Mm-hmm. But when the game doesn't allow you to do that. It's really frustrating. It's not that I don't know what I need to do. It's hard to describe, but like sometimes how close a zombie is to you, like you'll won't hit them with your gun sometimes, like it's like shoot through them. And then like the range of them grabbing you to like knock you down is like sometimes really wide. And then, it's just really frustrating, a lot of it. It looks really great though. It runs, it's a really beautiful looking game. But I just, oh god damn, was it freaking frustrating.
I'll talk to you about a frustrating game, Faster Than Light. I don't know if you've ever played
that. Yeah, no, I've seen a lot of people playing this and I heard a lot about it. But I actually haven't played it yet.
It's a simple strategy game, so to speak, and it's only like a one screen thing where you make your decisions when you're traveling through space and you're always following your particular ship, and you know it's like, you know, your dream of like running a ship, so to speak. But the issue is that every choice you make, you know, where you're destined to go, like for your travel log, you a random event occurs, so it's either a good thing or a bad thing, and pretty much 90% of the time it's a bad time.
Yeah.
So the problem though is that when it comes to combat in that game, you're like always either on fire or you're being boarded. And usually I've never gotten past like this, like second, like region of space, so to speak. And I don't understand how anyone's really good at that game. And like, it just gives me headaches. So, I mean, if I would easily have to rank my least favorite, it would probably be that. And it's mostly because I'm just bad at it.
Well, that's totally understandable.
So,
let's see, what are the ones? Trine 2. I actually haven't played the first Trine, but I bought Trine 2. It was on sale on Steam. And also, let me just point this out, that I think, like, most of these games I own on Steam, and especially when they go on sale. And I just want to mention that real quick. Right now, I think until the 29th, which is Friday, I guess, which is when my giveaway is going to end for Limbo, mind you, that Steam is having an indie game sale right now. So what better way to listen to this podcast and get excited about these games than to just go buy them for a few dollars. Seriously, a few dollars. With the price that you can pay for a brand new AAA title video game for $60, you can buy like 50 indie games right now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can get some of the best video games for $20.
In this case, quantity is better.
Yes. So. Yeah. So Trine 2 is a really fun platforming game. And, the last game I've played that I purchased has been Hotline Miami, which I suggested for you to get. And Hotline Miami, if you haven't played it, you definitely should, because it's really awesome. It definitely goes up there with the sometimes the frustrating factor, but the gameplay is so rewarding that I never got frustrated enough where I got mad and didn't want to play the game anymore. It actually made me want to play the game even more. Like, I got more, the more intense it got and the more I failed, the more I was like, oh, I'm definitely beating this. Like, I'm sitting here until I kill all these guys in this house, until I pass this level.
No, absolutely. And on top of that, it's like, even if you were losing, you had that badass jam in the background.
Yeah,
like,
the music, hands down, possibly the best video game music I've ever experienced is Hotline Miami. It's just an awesome, awesome soundtrack. So for those of you who haven't heard of Hotline Miami, I don't really want to spoil it because there's really no way to explain it and do it justice without just playing it. You know what I mean? Like, I can't explain it to you. You're better off just going and playing it. It's only $5 on Steam right now. It's half off. So, like, go play it. It's $5. Just buy it and play it. It's totally worth your time. One of my favorites of any of them.
You know, it's funny. When I was playing Hotline Miami, to give a comparison, it was the same time I was playing, like, the new Call of Duty. And I was literally playing Call of Duty pretty competitively online for a little bit. And then you told me about Hotline Miami, and I haven't played Call of Duty since.
Yeah.
And to give you an idea, I mean, the difference is that, like, when I play an indie game, there's definitely, like I said earlier, there's such a nostalgic feeling that, like, when I was playing as a kid,
right,
that makes me enjoy it so much more. And it's like, I don't know if I'm reaching that point where it's like back in my day.
Yeah. But no, I don't even think it's about that. It's just I think since these games are developed by such a small number of passionate people, they can really drive home what they want. You know what I mean? They're not influenced by the companies to say, okay, well, you can't do that. Because I can't imagine Hotline Miami going through a major publisher. They would never get away with half the stuff they got away with in this game. And, you know, just, like, the people who produce these games just really want to get their, you know, they're saying, this is what I want to emphasize. This is what I want people to get out of this game. And they can do that however they want to. Like, their own way. They can do it how they want to do it. And that's the beauty of having all the control over this video game that you're creating. And another one real quick, I want to mention Minecraft. I've never played Minecraft. I knew you have. And I know that that's also something that just blew up and is, like, one of the biggest games, like, out there now.
If you want to talk about of all of the indie games to really make its mark, I mean, Notch, the creator, like, he's not only, if you do not know that name in gaming, you should. And what he's done for his studio company is Mojang or something, I believe. Hmm. And what he's pretty much done, he's, like, pretty much the Gabe Newell of indie gaming. Like, he's the face for indie gaming. I mean, he's so dedicated to the cause and the movement, and, like, his whole story is, like, extremely, extremely interesting. I mean, the amount of money, like, the one thing you say is, like, you know, with only three people making a game, you know, all that money becomes profit.
Yeah.
And so, of course, he's extremely, like, you know, well off at this point, but he countlessly donates it to different charities.
Yeah.
And it's extremely, extremely awesome to see that. I mean,
yeah. It's the way it should be, like.
Absolutely.
And I understand that, like, you know, like big game companies that produce these high budget games, you know, they make a lot of money, but the money has to be put right back into the process that they, I'm sure that if they created a game that, you know, didn't cost a lot of money, they'd be able to, you know, do that. But, you know, it does cost a lot of money, and like just advertising and stuff like that, just alone is what's like, you know,
did you see what Bioshock Infinite, like, I mean, I was seeing numbers that the game costs like, I think it was like cost like $100 million to produce, so to speak.
It's ridiculous. But
advertisement, you know, but advertisement was also $100 million. And like, I mean, the game hasn't come out yet.
It'll be out this week, actually.
This week or whatever. But, I mean, the amount of money that they've put in just advertisement alone, I mean,
right.
is just like insane. And
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they'll get the payoff because the game looks phenomenal, but mm-hmm. it's pretty much at this point, it's the cardinal rule that, like, you know, do we really need to be spending that much money in the first place to do that?
Yeah,
like,
right.
So,
which is also why I'm skeptical about this next, like, upcoming generation of video games, like the PS4 and whatever the next Xbox is going to be, that you know, the games are just going to cost more and more and more money, and then like to make, and then that's going to reflect on, you know, the consumer, and we're going to end up paying like, you know, $70-$80 for video games probably pretty soon. And
yeah,
it's just
$80 game where like all you have to do is hit A and then yeah. they'll do everything else for
where
you.
The cutscenes are happening and the game's like 90% cutscenes.
Yeah.
But yeah, also, and this is another topic real quick, how a lot of these indie games are now, either branching off into or originating on mobile platforms like iOS or Android and stuff like that. And one in particular, which started off on the iPad, Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery. I don't know if you've ever played this or heard of this, Sean, but it's an awesome game. It's like an 8-bit game. It's just a point and click, mm-hmm. but I had it on my iPad, and it's such a simple gameplay. Like, there's really not a lot to it. But it's such an awesome experience to go through this awesome 8-bit world, and the music is fantastic, and it's a really interesting story. It's a really cool game. You can get it. It's only, I think it's like $2 or something on the app store right now, and actually it's on Steam as well, and that should also be on sale. But it's a really awesome game, and it's really cool that a lot of these games, you know, can originate on iOS, and then, you know, they become popular, they become big, and they're able to branch off, you know, into consoles and stuff like that, or vice versa. How games like Bastion, which started off on Xbox Live and then PC, is now available on the iPad and like the App Store as well. Same thing with like Plants vs. Zombies and stuff like that. So it's really cool to see, you know, these games get ported onto mobile devices, because a lot of them, you know, they're not the most graphically intense games, so they can be handled very easily, you know, on an iPad. And a lot of times, the control schemes are very simple too. So, you know, just a few different buttons, digital buttons, or the way that Bastion did it perfectly, that it implemented two control schemes where one of them is, you know, there's digital buttons, like a digital left button, digital right, whatever. You could use those, or there's like a, you just kind of drag your finger around and tap, like you can, you know, control them that way too. So, you know, the controls, and actually even some of the freaking iOS things, I think there's like app, like you can buy like controllers, like Bluetooth controllers to like play these games. Not that I would want to do that, because that defeats the whole purpose of the mobile gaming, but, you know, it's cool that they offer that kind of stuff. But,
well, I'm just glad we've advanced from not having to play Breakout or like Snake for like the 90,000th time, because like, it's like the only games I remember on a phone.
On phones, yeah, like Snake and like
So
not to say that Snake is a bad game. Snake is, I've had some fun with Snake.
No, not me. I will.
But, the last thing I want to bring up is if you're interested in purchasing a lot of these Humble Bundles, but you don't really know which ones to get, or you want to get a lot of them, and you're on a tight budget, you should look at the Humble Bundles. This is an awesome thing, and I don't even know who started it, but basically you can get them. You can get them on your PC. You can even get them via Android. There's even Android Humble Bundles, and basically it's just a bundle of 5 or 6 or 4 or whatever, a multiple number of amount of indie games that you'll get in a package. And you can download them, and you can register them on Steam, or you can just play them on your computer, you know, without using Steam, just install them, whatever. And you pay what you want. It's not even a set price. You can pay 50 cents, or maybe it's a minimum of a dollar, but whatever. You can pay a dollar for like 5 or 6 games.
You should pay more.
I'm just saying that, like, you know, the pay what you want scheme is a really awesome aspect, and it also you know, allows people to really, you know, either support them like over what they should give, you know, or people who are really on a tight budget that really want to play the games but they don't have the money to, you know, to shell out, you know, $30 or whatever. But there's like 7 Humble Bundles now. I think I own 2 or 3 of them, actually, which is why my Steam library is like enormous. I have like 30 games that I haven't even installed, let alone played, on my Steam account. But they're really great. And also, the great part about the Humble Bundle too is, you know, if you pay above the average, which is based on however much people are paying at that moment, if you pay above the average, you get an extra game or two for free, like in addition to it. So
they definitely take care of you.
Yeah, and sure. You can do it via, I have an Android one where I got like Osmosis and a couple other games, I'm trying to think, what Anomaly and Cube, and there's another game too I got for like, I paid a couple bucks for them. It's just cool. You can get these games in a big bundle. It's awesome. So if you want to get them, definitely check that out.
And usually Humble Bundle, it's either for some sort of charity. There's always some sort of element involved as well.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's, you don't really take into consideration, but even all the processing fees they have to handle, they take it all up. And I mean, they might only get like 30 cents from your donation, but
right.
I mean, they still get paid at the end of the day. So
it's an awesome idea, and they're still doing it. They're on like I said, I've purchased a couple of them. The 7th one, I think, is that, which is the one I just bought. It comes with like Shank 2, and let me look at my Steam
Binding
library.
Binding of Isaac.
Yeah, Binding of Isaac.
That's actually the one I got in.
VVVVV, whatever that is, which is a really cool game. Implements different. I think it's just VVVVVV. And that's a cool game too. It's like old school style, really simple graphics, and it's based on the gravity mechanic where you jump up. If the gravity goes up, you'll land on the roof. And vice versa, and you have to get through. It's really tough, but it's fun.
It's awesome.
Yeah, so, I mean, indie games, I can't wait to see, you know, what's going to be coming out in the future. I'm really excited.
Well, not only that, but, I mean, like, the people that have made their games, like, you know, the Super Meat Boys, those developers, like, not only do they have their own games that's made big now, but, like, I'm actually surprised or excited to see them make a multi-million-dollar title because, you know, if they take that much effort to put into, you know, a simple 8-level stage game, and I would love to see them, you know, take on a big project and, you know, make something even, you know, better than, say, like, you know, the top game on the market right now, like a Skyrim or something, you know. It'd be awesome to see them work with, like, Bethesda or, like, So Blizzard, for example.
So anyway, let's get to this little giveaway thing. Basically, I have a copy of Limbo that we're going to be giving out. It's a Steam code that I'm going to gift to somebody. Whether you have it or not and you want to gift it to somebody else, or you just don't have it yet and you want it, I'm going to give it to you. Well, I'm going to give you a chance to give it to get it. Basically, just send us an email at ramblingtopics, ramblingtopics@gmail.com.
Do you want to say that again?
Yes. ramblingtopics@gmail.com. There you go. And basically all you need to do is put your name in, and in the subject line, just put in the special code, which is Rant Loves Indie. Just put that in the subject code so I know that, hey, it's you and you want this game. And you just put your name in, and next episode I'll give you a little shout out, say thanks for listening and stuff like that. Also, be sure to send us emails at ramblingtopics@gmail.com if you have any suggestions or ideas or comments about, you know, anything we've done, will do, or want us to do, stuff like that. Be sure to do that. And the giveaway, mind you, for Limbo ends Friday, which is March 29th, at 11:59. So Saturday, don't bother sending us any more emails. So send it in. Don't bother sending in multiple emails because I'm just going to ignore it. So yeah, send it in.
I do not appreciate spam.
Yeah, agreed. So, and Limbo is an awesome game. So if you don't have it, or you're, you know, if you were always hesitant about getting it and you don't want to pay for something you weren't sure about, this is the time to get it.
Or see what the actual hype is about indie games.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, this is a prime example of an indie game, so you can get your hands on it now. And if you don't have Steam, you can get Steam because it's free. So I'm just pointing that out. And Limbo is Mac and PC based for Steam, so you can, doesn't matter what you're playing on, what kind of computer you have, you'll be able to play the game. So don't worry about that. So Sean, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for joining me on this episode of Rant.
Thanks, Kyle. It's always been great working with you. And I appreciate being on the program, so.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Rambling About Notable Topics. You can find all of our episodes, plus the Rant blog, at ajazznetworks.com, as well as our other great content, including Ajazz Tech, The Salinor Show, and Internet Amazings. You can follow the official Rant Twitter at Rambling Topics, and myself at Kyle Cicilloni. You can also listen to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
You can find this show and more at Ajazz Networks. Originally different media for your personal taste.